Let's turn our attentions now to the Word of God, turning in them to the book of Galatians as we start this book now in our scripture readings. Looking at Galatians chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Galatians 1, 1 through 10. So starting in Galatians 1, verse 1, these are the words of God. They are inerrant and infallible and completely sufficient for each and every one of us. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For I am now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And that is the word of the Lord to us, his people. There you see the first five verses of one of Paul's letters. There is a standard greeting. You would think it's a standard greeting, right? But it's not. It's different from other letters of Paul to churches like Corinth or Rome. This is a letter from Paul where he does not give thanks to God for them, for the church. He does not give thanks to them. This is very unlike Paul. And so it stands out, it should stand out to us if we were reading through all of Paul's letter. This one should stand out at least in this particular way. He does not give thanks to God for them. As an apostle, he's not sent from man, but God. And he gives the gospel, verse 4, to a people who are struggling with it. The church in Galatia, they were struggling with the gospel. They were preaching a different gospel. Jesus Christ, the true gospel who gave himself for our sins, they were not preaching that. And so he does not give thanks to them, to God for them. But he severely rebukes them, this church, these churches of Galatia, for their defection from the faith. In verses 6 through 9. I'll read it again so we're clear. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. They were deserting Jesus Christ as the only way, the truth, and the life. They were falling for a different gospel, which is, as Paul says, no gospel at all. Among them were those who were distorting the gospel and so disturbing the church. They were preaching, these false teachers were preaching that the gospel, in order to be saved, one must believe in Jesus Christ and be circumcised. One must believe in Jesus Christ and be circumcised. So one who is in their preaching of this false gospel, which is no gospel at all, one who is not circumcised cannot be saved from their sin. Beloved, the gospel is simply Jesus alone for salvation. There's only one name under heaven by which we must be saved, and that is the name Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. But if there is a teaching of Jesus plus something else, if there's a teaching of Jesus adding to Jesus for salvation, that is not the gospel. And so sometimes we in the church fall into this, at least in our minds and how we act. Maybe not in the preaching of it, but in our actions. We think Jesus plus our works will gain us salvation. So we, when we're sinning or in the midst of a time of sin, we often think we are not saved anymore. Some people struggle with that. But that is not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus alone for salvation. But adding anything to Jesus alone for salvation is heresy. And so rightly he says, verse 8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed." So Paul comes boldly, verse 10, "not seeking the favor of man to please man, but only the Lord. For that is the elder's calling as well as all Christians. We are bondservants of Christ. We're not bondservants of man. And so we proclaim the true gospel and rebuke those who preach falsely." Let's pray now to our Lord. Our Father, we thank you for your Word, how you have breathed out to us this living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, Word, that pierces to the division of bone and marrow and soul and spirit. It is not just another book that we would find in a library. It is your Word. And it is the word of life, for it produces salvation in us as your Spirit works in our hearts and changes our hearts from stone to flesh and changes our wills and affections that we would long to be with you and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You sent him to this earth to live a perfect life and die on the cross for our sins, to bear our guilt and punishment, the wrath of God. And by him being raised again on the third day, you guarantee justification and life forever in your Son. Father, we are thankful for the gospel. And at every turn when we attempt to add works to it, when we try to justify ourselves by what we do, Father, we ask that you would mercifully rebuke us and turn us back to your Son. His sacrifice is infinitely sufficient for us. And Father, we praise you that you're a God who has given us the gospel. You've not allowed us to be a people who can only see your creation and your works in creation, and yet do not know the way to salvation. You've given us the way, and we thank you for that. The way, the truth, and the life through your Son, Jesus. Father, this day we are called to mourn with those who mourn. And so, Father, we ask that you would be with Phyllis's family as they've lost her uncle. We ask that it, decisions that Phyllis has made and to be faithful to you would not hurt the relationship with their family. And Father, continue to build Phyllis up herself with gentleness, humbleness, humility, even in these things. Father, we pray for Mike, who's gone to South Dakota after his grandmother died. I ask that you would be with him in his travels and comforting his family. We thank you for his grandmother's long life. And ask that you would, with this family, remind them of the gospel and be comforted with the comfort we find in salvation and even in your Son, even in the Spirit who is now present with us. Father, we ask that you would be glorified in our worship, that we would not be led astray, that there would be no false preaching ever done amongst the people of God here, but that your word would be preached faithfully and boldly with the authority that comes from you alone, from your word. Father, we continue to seek your healing power upon those who are sick and struggling in their bodies greatly, especially Karen and Bob, Marie and Sharon, Dina. Father, remind them of your healing grace and what confidence we can have, assurance we can have of our bodies being healed because you promise to do so. And you're faithful to your promises. And so we stand upon your word, your promise. That you would not only heal our bodies, but you would heal our souls, our hearts, our minds, our wills, our affections. And again, make us holy as you are holy, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.